Latin Jazz Coalition with Mambo Bembe, featuring Dimitrios Gastaris. A wonderful thing, isn't it? Music knows no ethnic bounds. Here he is, as Greek as he sounds, but he's with the Latin Jazz Coalition. We also have featured Steve Glusband on trumpet, Oscar Hernandez on piano, and Mario Rodriguez on bass. This is from the Coalition's 2009 album, the title of the same name, Mambo Bembe. This is Lead Stories. I'm Retrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off the last time. And I just thought I would read you. I like to do this every now and then, just read old stuff that I've written. And you tell me how prescient I was, not to pat myself on the back, but I have a habit of doing this. This happens to me a lot. I would say something or offer an opinion, and then move on, and then years go by, and it occurs to me, I know I said something about this before. Well, such is the situation with this. Here is the program description I posted for December the 21st, 2017. This is from December the 21st, 2017. I titled it Donald Trump's Big Pawn. I wrote, knowing the president's penchant for lying and his gratuitous overstatements about his business acumen and success, which also is lying, we should be very skeptical about his so-called Christmas gift of $1.5 trillion in a budget that he said will cause a rising tide of prosperity that will lift all boats. Quote, the rosy picture Trump paints doesn't square with reality, I wrote. Rather, it's another of his tall tales told to distract and buy time before his economic tsunami hits, unquote. In a related program description I posted that same day, I wrote, quote, Lead Stories repeats its warning that we all should mind our own business, preparing ourselves for the economic calamities that are much closer than we think. Unquote. Even without knowing the gory details of Trump's business dealings, especially those that allegedly were for the public good, I knew instinctively the primary beneficiary of any business proposal would be Donald Trump. Now, the New York Times has reported that Trump not only didn't repay $270 million in loans that he had gotten in 2010 for a Chicago skyscraper development project, he got the total amount written off. In the midst of a coronavirus pandemic, however, the president can find no way yet to help financially strapped Americans. And there isn't even a hint of an official inquiry into Trump's unusual business dealings. Okay, there you have it. Again, I just want to remind you, I wrote this as a description of the program that we did that day on December the 21st, 2017. Okay? That's how long this has been around. So people can't say that, well, this came out of nowhere. Nobody knew what he was doing. Nobody, still to this day, nobody has any idea what exactly was this man doing. What was he doing? And there hasn't been a formal investigation of this amount of money that he suddenly materialized to build a skyscraper project out in Chicago, costing $270 million. But look at what's happening today. People all over the country are suffering, and Trump can't find a penny to help them. He talks about it. Oh, I want a stimulus package. I want to give people money. Yeah, but he not only defaulted on those $270 million that he borrowed, he also got it forgiven. Who forgives any business person $270 million? And for what reason? And all those years have gone by, and there is no explanation. Except one could literally say he snagged $270 million. He got it, he took it, he didn't pay it back, and he got them to forgive him that debt. Isn't life funny how it all works? So I don't want to hear anybody making excuses. What is it with Donald Trump? It's not just with Donald Trump. You're talking about systemic corruption here You're talking about the abuse of power and authority. You're talking about untold millions of dollars that went into funding a private enterprise. You're talking about no investigation. This is going back again, 2017. No investigation. Nobody has bothered to say, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? How did he get his hands on this money? Not only that, he said to them, I can't pay this money back. And then, even worse, he said, I'm not going to pay this money back. And there's nothing you can do about it. And they all fell down on this particular issue. Nobody stood up and said, who the hell are you? You're going to tell us we can't launch an inquiry? All the people who, all the Democrats who are up in arms today, they're up in arms and they want this, they want that. Not a person said a peep back in 2017. Nobody said anything. The man pocketed $270 million in cold cash. And people are talking today, including Donald Trump, about the problems of helping people to the extent needed. People need help. $270 million compared to what is needed for today is a drop in the bucket. There was no investigation. Nobody bothered to open an investigation to say, we have to look at this. Here's a guy, a native New Yorker, behind this so-called project in Chicago. And you get $270 million free dollars. Isn't God great? And you're making excuses. Everybody's making excuses. Well, we can't do this. We can't stop and do everything right now. We have other things we've got to do. They all took off for the high hills. Nobody to be seen or heard from. Why? Because, you know, it's the holiday. They're not coming back until after election. They got some more time off in a matter that is beyond urgent to take care of. They still find time to take care of themselves and their priorities. And people literally are at the point of giving up. They have no more money. They don't see money coming from anywhere. But still, the landlord has to be paid, or the bank note has to be paid. You still have to feed your children. You still have expenses. People are being evicted left and right. And this man was able to walk free from a debt of more than $270 million. And nobody said boo. Isn't that great? And it is not too late. This was 2017. We're only a few years down the pike. The memories are still fresh. People can still be located to testify. People can still be found. His records, which he absolutely refused to turn over, now we're getting an idea of why. Because they will give some answers, even if he doesn't. But this is the obscenity I'm talking about. This is why people are so angry. What justifies this man getting $270 million to basically launch a private project, which he didn't have to pay back? And still doesn't have to pay back. And we still don't know the gory details of this project. And this is only one. What more are we likely to learn about how Donald Trump used public assets, public money, to advance his private business endeavors, including those that were dangerous, that were highly risky, and that were not expected to succeed? You see, when people start talking about white supremacy and the privileges that go along with that, here's an instance in which, could you imagine a black guy, even a God-fearing, upright standing man, pulling down $270 million in loans and then saying, well, you know, I can't pay you back. And then later changing his tone to, I won't pay you back, and still is walking free. And the person who did this and got away with it was the President of the United States. And nobody is raising the question about a criminal investigation. Nobody is raising questions about his conduct as the chief executive officer, if you will, of the United States. And he's gotten away with it. And you know there's much more. I just don't know what it is. We know of this because the New York Times exposed it. But I had an inkling, going back to 2017, when I wrote this. You just know. This is stuff that has to be dug into by the highest levels of investigation in this country. You just know that. Imagine I didn't see the records, I didn't see the papers, I didn't see any of that. And I knew right off the bat, something is wrong here. This can't be right. But everybody is terrified of even suggesting that a commission of inquiry be formed around this question, in particular, the skyscraper project in Chicago, but all related projects that Donald Trump and his son-in-law, the vampiric looking son-in-law, who has been drained of blood, it seems. He sucked off everybody else's blood and still doesn't look good. still doesn't look well. But in 2017, that's what I wrote. And I wrote something else just to remind you. I said, this is a time for us to mind our own business. This is a time for us to get serious about seeing to our interests. Something is wrong here. And it must be probed. It must be investigated. It must be prosecuted. You think somebody would say, hey, Eutrice, we've known you for a while. We think you're okay. Let's give you a couple of million bucks for free. You don't have to pay it back. And then I said, you know, it's funny. I was coming to tell you I can't pay it back. And not only can't I pay it back, I won't pay it back. In fact, I need you to forgive this debt, forget it ever occurred. That's what we have going on in this country. And that's why I wrote back in 2017 that we really need to get our act together. We need to do that for ourselves. If the Congress can't do it, we need to make that absolutely clear. They have neither the will nor the wherewithal, nor even the compunction as stewards of the state to do the right thing. We're on our own in this business of having higher hopes than what these bozos are able to deliver or even want to deliver. They're telling us we're taking the money and you can't do a damn thing about it. These are the ones who like to talk about lofty goals and ideals, the American way, and all of this nonsense. They're scoundrels and thieves. And unable to discharge their duties to the people who are suffering, the people who have nothing. They're laughing all the way to the bank. They're saying, people like Trump say, why are they subjecting themselves to all this stuff? It's so easy. Just say you're not paying it back. And get them. Compel them to forgive you this debt. Now, that's the American way. I got the money. I used it all up. And I can't pay you back. So now you will have to forgive this debt I owe you of more than $270 million. And that's only on one project. See, we are kidding. We are playing footsie. They're playing for keeps. They are playing for keeps. When are we going to summon up the courage and determination to get this thing right? To make those people who are so brazen in their criminality, to make them accountable, make them pay. When are we going to assert and affirm our rights, the rights of all of us? We don't know where that $270 million went, and that's just one project. There are several more like that. Money was received, nothing happened, no new buildings went up, nothing. But still, the money ended up somewhere in somebody's hands, except nobody is interested in finding out. Nobody is interested in calling in a battalion of prosecutors and investigators and follow the money. No. In an extreme form, that's white supremacy, white privilege at work. They are entitled to commit crimes at that level and be left alone. Well, you know, he's the president. We can't bust the president. They have these preposterous explanations as to why they can't do their job, or why it is okay to forgive him $270 million on one project. And why? Because he demanded it. Forgive it. Forgive the money. Let's move on to something else. And they said, okay. He never went to court a day in his life to explain what he did with this money. Where did the money go? He had no accounting as president of the United States. You tell me which black man, which Latino man could do this and get away with it. I will take a break here and come back to your questions and comments at 888-874-4888. The reason I bring this up is not to pat myself on the back, but I will say this because it is important for me to let you know. You have had the advantage and continue to have the advantage of people like me bringing things to your attention. I put this on the book since 2017. And I bet you most of you would say, gee, I didn't know that. This happens to me all the time. I told you about Donald Trump long before he got into office. People literally became belligerent and attacked me, saying, why do you feel a need to be so critical of this man that you're even inventing things? Nothing was invented. It was on the record. It's my job to raise the issues and make sure that it's put in black and white so you could read it. I even surprised myself. I forgot that I had written that in 2017, warning people, we have to mind our own business and take care of business, because this system as organized does not have our best interests in mind. It is a criminal enterprise. And we will always, collectively, we will always be the ones paying the price. Back at you right after this. listening to PRN.FM. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM at 888-874-4888. We'd love to hear from you and what you're thinking. Your questions and comments at 888-874-4888. Jerry from New York, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice. I would just like to say that Congress is the one that allocates the funds. We all want everybody to, you know, receive the stimulus money, and it would be wonderful. And if it was streamlined just for really people who need help, I just want to say that. And we've been outraged for years, everybody, with the corruption that goes on with politics and the money. And it's always the people who don't have that don't get it. I agree with that. But I agree that the outrage and the righteousness has to be applied, you know, to everyone across the board, because the guy, I saw the interview with the Tony Bobulinski regarding the Biden family when he was still the VP, there's proof. He was personally involved in it, this gentleman. He has emails, text messages. So the outrage has to go both ways. And white supremacy, if you're going to apply it to Trump, oh, why can't it be applied to Biden?
All right. You're raising a non-question because you're obviously a Trump plant. You're a Trump person and you feel a need, a compelling need to defend him.
I'm not defending him. I'm pointing out that
I have no such need. Secondly,
you have outreach for one thing, but not the other. So I find that baffling.
Well, it shouldn't be baffling. It is what it is. I make myself very clear. Nobody has to guess what it is I'm saying. I say it. No innuendo or oblique references when it comes to me. I will tell you exactly what I'm thinking. I have no use for diplomacy in that sense at all.
So I don't understand how you...
You don't make an argument by saying, well, why do they do this, but they don't do that? That was not the premise of my discussion.
Well, we also don't know all the facts you're getting leaked.
Speaking over me, pardon me for interrupting while you are speaking. What is it with you? I have to ask. What is it?
I find you to be very jaded, partisan, and hypocritical. If
you
want
right.
to be righteous,
Here's the thing.
You've got to be righteous on both ends. You have to be righteous
on both
ends.
Here's what I say. Again, you're talking. You have not yet been acclimated to the fine art of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Now we come with the personal insult. You only do that when you don't get your way.
You did that to me all since you started. And I am not going to stay here engaging you in an argument.
Because you
have
don't
to
have
be
a
worthy.
Good argument.
I just want to say this.
There.
You have to be worthy of an argument with me.
There.
You are not.
You're not there.
You are not.
Yeah. I don't
Goodbye.
Worry about it. I'm well versed in arguments.
Goodbye. Go someplace else and make your issue. I keep trying to say, well, okay, maybe this time reason will win out. It we're going for broke on this one. It is 100% down the toilet. Shauna from North Carolina, you're on the air.
Trying to say, well, okay, maybe this time reason will win out.
Hello, Shauna, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Yatrice.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Yatrice?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, hi. So, like you said, you don't know where the money went. Nobody knows where the money went. Nobody ever knows where the money goes, right?
No, but supposedly we have such people. Such people are paid a lot of money to find out where the money went.
But maybe they're not looking because they don't want to tell nobody. If you look for something, you're going to find something. You might not find everything,
but
maybe
that's
they don't
job.
Want to.
That is their job. They are investigators. That's their job.
Well, maybe you know a lot of people that don't do their job.
If you were a target of prosecution, that too would be their job. And believe me, if they set their sights on you, they'll find something.
Well, that's you. You're not the president. He's not doing his job. He's not very presidential, but he got a job. Everybody who has a job.
But there are people we have.
Title.
Inspectors general all over the place. We have agency people whose job it is to investigate. We have all kinds of authorities, overlapping authorities.
You know what I thought about when you started talking today? You started talking about them doing their job. I thought that maybe their job is to act like they're doing their job while collecting money. I think that they're all in on it, and that's why the Democrats say nothing. I thought also about what you said, 260 million, I don't know how many million, but that's a drop in the bucket when you're stealing.
Yes, but that's at wholesale only on level. Project.
Yeah, at wholesale level.
On
and I think that they probably paid the money back in a stimulus because the money didn't come to the people. But the money went to some corporations, a lot of corporations. It's like when Obama came into office, the very first act of his duty, I don't know if it's the very first, but one of the acts of his duty was that he gave out $1 trillion or more to the banks. Remember that? All of the banks got paid. All of the people were in during the 2008 housing debacle that was one of the biggest scams and displacement of people across this country. He paid the banks. Now, the people had mortgages. They got the money paid from the people's money, which is the money he paid the $1 trillion with. That's the people's money, the taxpayers' money, and paid the banks. The banks didn't make it any easier for the people to keep their homes. It didn't put a moratorium on foreclosures. And it just continued till today. The people are still being put out their house. So not only did the people have to take the money and pay the $1 trillion from their taxes, they also still had to, those who didn't get put out their house, still had to pay the mortgages. So the banks got paid twice. Obama said to us, what they did, talking about the banks, was not illegal. It might not be, I forget what he said, it might not be, but he said whatever they did was not illegal. It was a documentary I saw called The Big Short, and it explained a lot of what we were looking at. We don't know what we're looking at. We don't know the other side of this money game. We are the collateral, the people. That's all I know. No matter
what.
We
have to change our attitude.
Right.
And
our understanding,
attitude
too.
Should be, if it is important to us, it therefore is important, and we need the answers, and we shouldn't stop demanding answers, and we shouldn't.
If you got the answers, what are you going to do with it? What if you got the answers, and he said he spent the money on lavish boats and yachts for
Fine.
His grandchildren?
We'll produce what the lavish was? Boats. We'll sell those off. We'll put them in a fund, and we will have. There are people who do this for a living.
But they're not
during
doing
the whole
it,
real estate collapse.
Mm-hmm.
During the whole real estate collapse, there were short sales all over the place, but they weren't happening willy-nilly. Everything, well, almost everything, was closely watched and closely supervised. Money is involved. I don't understand why it is that suddenly hands are off and we can't demand from Donald Trump or anybody else where the heck is the money. How
I don't think
you?
It, we was demanding it from anybody. I think that everybody's been stealing for so long that the poor people just got used to being poor and they sit at home waiting for a stimulus because they think that somebody's coming. Nobody is coming.
Thing. Right now, if that's the extent of people's reasoning, then they're going to get what they get.
Exactly. You saw what happened with COVID.
If these things are happening and people still are not animated enough to say, I need answers, We want answers. We want an inquiry. We want to know what has happened with this money, and why is it that in the scheme of things, I am the one ending up losing my property. I've already put so much money into it. Why should I be penalized losing the money? There are many people who cannot regain their footing because
that was
they've
my
lost
point when
money.
Excuse me. That was my point when I was trying to understand, well, and comparatively listening to that viewpoint and looking at what happened in 2008, when the same thing was happening by a different administration to the people. They were losing their property in 2008. They haven't stopped losing their property. It's the same bank. It's the same Treasury Department. It's just a different man in the White House. They are giving the banks, the same people who give the people the mortgages, the same people who put foreclosures on the people, they're giving the same people the trillions and trillions of dollars. It doesn't seem like the masses of people want accountability, even when they're in the streets living under.
You know how intimidating it is to go up against an entrenched governmental system?
Oh, so you're just being rhetorical when you say, why don't we do something about it? Because if you know it's intimidating, then the people who are homeless and who are in foreclosure or in pre-foreclosure knows how intimidating it is. Equally,
yes,
and knowing that
the
government
is
corrupt.
Leadership,
the whole
means
thing is corrupt.
Should step in and do something.
Do and what?
The
buy a blanket so they could be warm outside in the cold?
John, hold on. Don't talk over me. It really annoys me. We can hear each other. Let's just take turns.
Okay.
Go.
Me? No, yeah. I don't know what they can do. Other than what they're doing, I think that people don't recognize what they're looking at. I think it's two parallel existence of living, that more than two, but there's two separate laws and systems that's going on in place. And most people think that it wasn't until Obama said that what they're doing is not illegal. And everything that you're looking at, you're saying, well, this is wrong, and this has to be illegal. And then you're looking at the Wall Street involvement in the corruption of people losing their homes. And it's like, well, why isn't this illegal? If you don't know the rules of the game, then you don't know how to play the game. You don't even know how to defend yourself if you don't know the rules. Of
it is not enough simply to say, we don't know the rules. Get to learn.
We don't know a lot.
It doesn't matter. Get yourself involved. It's in your own interest to be uninvolved in something of this magnitude, and people just throw their hands up and say, well, I don't know what to do here. Get involved or start organizing so that you can know what to do. But it is insufficient in this day and age with the calamities that are occurring, and they are terminal when they do occur, because people put 100% of their money into a project and then hope for the best. They're following the laws as they know them, but then not everybody's following the law. And we don't have the protections we ought to have. We have inspectors general galore, but not one of them has actually launched an investigation and announced the findings. Nobody has done the kinds of investigation that is necessary. So we are out of excuses. I don't want to hear what it is that we figure we can't do. That's crazy. No, it's unacceptable.
Didn't you say that it would be hard for them to go up against these forces?
Yes.
So,
but to do nothing?
Well, doing nothing makes it being hard makes it hard for somebody to do something. I'm not making excuses for people not doing anything.
Targets.
That's not my point.
They're going to have to get animated at some point in their own interests. And instead of waiting for the great savior to come in, you know, on a shining, a knight in shining armor to save everybody, that's not going to happen either. Lincoln, you're on the air.
If they didn't do anything to help themselves through COVID, I don't see where they're going to help themselves to try to to put an investigation to find out about a building in Chicago.
It's not a building. It's a skyscraper project. Okay. They're talking more
take
than
care,
one.
If they can't take care of their lungs and get a straight answer from the government on a protocol other than a vaccine that's not guaranteed to interrupt the virus, I don't think that nobody is even going to try to figure out about a skyscraper project when they can't even figure out how to keep a two-story brownstone. I don't know where that's coming from.
Nobody has tried.
I'm not living in an illusion. I just don't see that set of people.
Have the benefit of the doubt, because after all, they are victims here. And they deserve a hearing. So we can't just wipe them off because we think they haven't done this. We don't even know what they have done or haven't done. But we should investigate it vigorously. Thank you, Shauna. Lincoln Brown, you're on the air.
Hello, you trees.
Yeah, hello.
I hope you're doing well.
To get right to it,
I think that the only way we can change this is if we are not selective at who we point out. In 2003, 2004, 12 billion in U.S. currency was transported to Baghdad, and 9 billion is missing. And we, the people, did nothing about that. 9 billion, compare that to 270 million. 9 billion was missing and is still missing. And none of us made a big thing for the Bush and Cheney administration to make account for that 9 billion. Imagine, 12 billion was transported from the Federal Reserve to Baghdad. And of the 12 billion, 9 billion is still missing. I mean, that this 270 million is infinitesimal compared to 9 billion.
Don't ever say that, because you're making a really bad argument now.
Let me go a little further.
You're saying that an issue becomes important based on the amount of money involved.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that.
What are you saying?
You remember how I predicated it? I said, unless we treat them all the same and excuse none and don't just be selective about one, we cannot change it. However, I want to also add, and I hate that we're in this climate where if you say anything, you know, positive for Trump, everybody say, oh, you're a Trump plant. I'm not a Trump plant. Trump is capitalizing. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Trump is capitalizing on laws written by these politicians who are attacking him. You remember during the Let me finish the point. During, you remember in 2016 when he was debating with Hillary Clinton, and she pointed out, you know, things that she thought he did to get away with money, and he said, I because I'm smart, I capitalize on the laws that you all made.
Yes.
And that 270, what I'm saying, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying I support this, because first of all, these people don't function as servants of the people. Because if they did function as servants of the people, nobody would be starving.
You're jumping from subject to subject. Finish.
No, I'm not jumping from subject to subject.
Finish your argument. You can't talk about Hillary, and then you talk about Donald.
What I'm saying is, Trump, I'm doing the same thing that this sister did just before I came on, which she pointed out during the Obama administration. Nobody went to jail on Wall Street for that debacle, for the 2008 debacle. Not one of them went to jail. That's
and
what I'm saying.
And whose fault is that?
The people. We the people.
Okay.
Because we do not hold them accountable. So what I'm saying is,
okay,
if you're going to hold Trump accountable, then hold the others who are committing even worse crimes.
This is where your argument goes wrong. And most everybody making this kind of argument goes wrong. If you're going to do this, then you're going to have to do that. No, you have to start somewhere. Start somewhere.
No, you trees, we have to keep things in context. And you brought this up, pointing this out about Trump. Look at, what's his name? Bill Bloomberg. Hmm? When Bloomberg was much richer man than Trump, you know, the law said, okay, you can only be mayor for 2 years, I mean, for two terms. When the 2 terms ended, he was able to finagle and switch it to please himself for 3 terms. And then when he was out, it went back to the original. So we know that they are playing games with us, and we watch that happen. We, the people, watch that happen.
Okay. Wait. You said a great sentence right there. We watched that happen.
Right.
What's wrong with that sentence?
Nothing is wrong. I told the truth.
Yes, you told the truth. But you also missed the biggest clue so far in your presentation.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that people believe they could be passive and still see to their interests. You don't watch and then...
You choose. One of the reasons is that, first of all, we the people, we approach politics symbolically, not substantially.
So don't you think that by now... We've learned and we've seen ample.
No, we don't. No, it's like churchgoers.
When you do not become animated about your own interests, do you not
everything we do is perfunctory. It's not for real, substantive things.
Stop it.
Yeah, but sometimes we ourselves participate in it. Look at all the people.
Yes, we do. That's the nature of oppression. The nature of oppression is to get you to oppress yourself by opting out or by leaving it to others to decide for you or by yielding your rights. That's what you do. That's why we have a lot of craziness happening in this country.
Yes. Look how selective we are. Look at Biden's son got $1.5 billion from China. Nobody's, and they're making a bigger thing of Trump than that one. What did he get $1.5 billion for? Think of that. A Russian mayor gave Biden's son $3 million. Why aren't we questioning that?
Answer the question. I would certainly answer that, and I would certainly encourage people to ask the question. What's wrong with getting animated and asking the question? I raised, if you remember, when it comes to Biden's son, do you remember the questions that I raised? No, you don't. How is it that a person who allegedly had a drug habit? Ends up on the board of directors of a major firm, an energy firm, and is pulling down a pretty hefty salary.
Right, and we all have been asking
with
that.
With the benefit of any knowledge of the industry at all. How does that happen?
And that's what we've been asking. And look at this. Look at it during the debate, whenever Trump brought that up. Biden kept saying, stop lying. And we allow that to happen when we know that Biden was the one lying about his misdeeds in Ukraine.
The point that should matter to us is they're both alive.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, don't get me wrong here. They both are lying, but we
both were lying. Both of them.
I'm not saying that they both aren't, but what I'm saying is, but the way we are reporting it, we're reporting it like only one side is lying. And I'm saying we got to stop being selective. We got to point out all their misdeeds.
But give me a little bit of credit. Have you seen me or heard me take a one-sided view on these things?
You cheese.
But have
you? I love you. I love you. But let me tell you, sometimes you treat, sometimes you're not objective. Sometimes you get subjective.
What is objectivity got to do with it? When you are living the consequences of subjective action, you're supposed to be objective?
The only way to come to a genuine solution is through objectivity. Because if somebody's being subjective...
Oh, Lord, now you're really going into la-la land. What you want
is
to really see the problem as it is and react accordingly.
And to see the problem as it is, you have to be objective.
Okay. I'm saying to you, we could spend all day talking about whether objectivity or subjectivity will win the day. I'm saying, I don't care. I want at least some evidence that people are getting excited about advocating in their own interests. And
right, and I support you on that. I support you on that.
So then let's work with that.
So, but let us not get animated only when it's someone we don't like. I'm saying
then again,
be animated about
then again,
all of them.
If you're talking to me directly on this point, you certainly have missed how I approach things. I don't care whether
I'm just trying to reiterate this and to make us all think this, because we're all living in a time of great emotionalism. Listen to everyone. It's nothing but emotionalism ruling the day. And that's why, you know, things looking so crazy.
I try not to be emotional. I try to say, here are some facts. Person A is involved, and this is how. Person B is involved, and this is how. And we have to do something about it, don't you think? Building consensus.
Yes.
You think that
yes,
we ought to do
we
something,
have to do
about,
something it. About it.
It never goes any further than that. Seldom do I see people just taking the initiative, at least the very first level of initiative, to advocate in their own interests, which is the most genuine way to respond to an issue. Hopefully we'll get there soon. But in the meantime, the record where I'm concerned on these things is I've said it. I have said it about Democrats, Republicans, progressives. It doesn't matter. If there are issues that need to be resolved, if there are questions that need to be asked, if there are things you need to account for, I will raise it. That's what I do. Thanks, Lincoln. Thank you so much for your call today. So we will continue. Never fear, it is not going to end right here, right now. We will continue the discussion. And I'm excited that you're excited and want to discuss this. This is very, very important, and it's a good sign. Thanks so much for contributing. Let's meet up again tomorrow. Bye-bye.